Faithful God, as we come to this time now, Lord, speak to us from your word, by your spirit, and lead us into all truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, how many of us have been in a boat or a ship in a raging storm? Oh, we've got one or two. Oh, yeah. Oh, quite a few. Quite a few. Was it frightening?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, we had one yes here. Oh, and a nod there from Carol. Great. Well, not so great, really. As a boy, I remember my father and I capsizing our small sailing dinghy in the middle of the Salcombe Estuary on holiday in Devon and needing to be towed in. Another time at Salcombe, I remember being in an open motorboat in a heavy sea, making our way across the bar and around to Start Point. I loved it, but my sister didn't. In more recent times, it was interesting to see how the strong crosswinds on Lake Galilee caught the boat we were in as we crossed to the other side. But no, like most of us here, a storm at sea I haven't been in. Yet storms take many forms, don't they? I don't need to remind you that many of us here this morning have experienced and still are experiencing our own storms. As a church fellowship, we are in stormy times as these individual storms have impacted on the rest of us, and maybe as we see the scaffold up and us sitting here in the North Isle, and as we hear the troubles afflicting the wider Church of England. But as we might look at our own storms, and as we see the worrying potential storms generated by the words of President Trump this past week, I suggest they pale into insignificance, the storms many of our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world face at this time. The storm facing particularly our Anglican brothers and sisters in Eastern DRC and Goma comes obviously to mind. And as Martin Gordon, CMS mission partner and Bishop of Goma, says, the scale of suffering is immense. People are terrified, and the needs are overwhelming. But even in this darkness, the church is standing as a place of refuge and hope. Stephen, in his monthly blog that gets published in Link, writes about the recent wildfires that affected large areas in Los Angeles and asks the question, how do we go about fireproofing our lives? It goes almost without saying that we may face storms now, but there will be storms to come, whether from within or without. So it is going to be important to know how we can stand in the storm, or how we fireproof our lives, as Stephen says, or to be overcomers, as Jesus calls the early Christians to be in the seven churches mentioned in the book of Revelations. But as we look at our passage from Luke this morning, how often, when in the storm, have we, like the disciples, called out, Master, Master, we're going to drown, or something similar? Perhaps you feel you are drowning in the situation you find yourself in at the moment, or know someone who feels like that. Jesus responds with a question that was vital for the disciples to think about and to find an answer to. And like them, we need to find an answer too. Jesus says, where is your faith? Where is your faith? How are we going to answer that question when the storm hits? Maybe you are struggling for an answer now in the eye of your current storm. But I hope we can find some answers together this morning. So where do we start? I think we start by remembering the faithfulness of God, the faithfulness of our God. Firstly, we need to remember that faithfulness is at the heart, is essential to the nature and character of God. He cannot fail to be faithful. How do we know this? Well, the whole of the Bible speaks of it. The Old Testament prophet Jeremiah remembers God's faithfulness in a sad and difficult time. Writing shortly after the destruction of the temple and Jerusalem itself by the Babylonians in 586 BC, he can still say in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Of course, we've just sung, "Great is thy faithfulness." These words are from Lamentations. Some time ago, when I heard this song on a YouTube video, I noticed a comment below which said this: "I've listened to us singing this song quite a few times, but it came to mind as I sat in silence on the floor of my home office, crying my eyes out from my husband now wanting to take our two-year-old daughter from me to avoid paying child support after he walked away from our marriage and left our home state. A man who's supposed to be a Christian man of God and the holiest of the most holy when I met him. I recently recommitted my life to Christ right before COVID exploded, and that's when my marriage completely fell apart. While talking to God in the midst of my broken state, I kept asking him what am I doing wrong, getting angrier at him with each minute because I've been fasting and praying and not hearing a word. As I played this song, it was an immediate reminder that he is a God of faithfulness. And to never forget, he always takes care of his children, even when we don't understand the storm. I slowly started to calm down." As we look at our reading this morning of Jesus calming the storm, God's faithfulness is right at the heart of it. Faithfulness in the Hebrew also means trustworthy. Trustworthy. The disciples, though, seem to have missed the point, seem to have forgotten that. Jesus lays asleep in the boat as it is buffeted by the storm and starts to take on water. Their words, "Master, Master, we are going to drown," reveal that they are not really sure who it is that is in the boat with them. In fact, after calming the storm, they still don't seem to have got it either, asking, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water and they obey him." So the question is, if we have a faithful and trustworthy God, how are we going to stand in the storm? How are we going to fireproof our lives, as Stephen writes, or be the overcomers that Jesus calls us to? Firstly, we need to know and put our faith and trust in the one who is asleep in the boat. Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. In that violent storm, we need to see that Jesus is both man and God. Both man and God. As the disciples shake Jesus to wake him from what must have been a deep sleep in such a storm, we have a man that was totally exhausted from giving him of himself for others all day. Yet the deep sleep of one totally trusting in his heavenly Father, knowing he was in his care. For the disciples, it seemed that he was oblivious to the situation, and yet he was there sharing this dramatic and dangerous event with them, even fast asleep. The disciples' reaction to his rebuking of the wind and waves still shows that they still had not got it. They still had not realized that this person, Jesus, was both fully human and fully God, the God who created and commands the wind and the waves. The Apostle John calls this sleeping man in the boat the Word, the one who was with God in the beginning, at creation, but also the one who became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is with his disciples in the storm. He is faithful, and like them, he will stand with us in the storm too. We can trust him to be with us in those storms of life. But why is this true? St. Paul reminds us at the end of the letter to the Romans, chapter 8, that there is nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That love is shown supremely in his death upon the cross, where he takes the punishment that's due to us for our sin upon himself, and then to rise 3 days later to show that ultimately evil is conquered, death is defeated, sin is forgiven, and he reigns as Lord over all. This is undeserved. It's pure grace. And we see this in our reading this morning. Jesus doesn't wait till he has a satisfactory answer to his question, "Where is your faith?" He doesn't wait for that answer to that question before he calms the storm. No. In grace, he calms the storm and then rebukes the disciples with his question. I wonder how many times we've doubted him in the storm, and he graciously calms it before his Holy Spirit prods us with a similar question that demands our repentance, our turning back to him. My mother always used to say, "I cried before I was hurt when something had gone wrong or I'd lost something." Come to think of it, Mandy might also intimate something similar in the same situations nowadays. But it's not the trivial minor storms of life we need to think about, but the life-changing ones, and the ones that challenge the very core of our faith, our values, an identity as followers of Christ. It's important that we don't take his grace for granted, that we seek to deepen our faith and know who we are in Christ, that we know that we are, as John the Apostle says, those who have received Jesus into our lives, believing in his name, that we are children of God, born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. So how are we going to stand in the storm, fireproof our lives, and be overcomers? Well, finally, it is about relying on him, the one who asks, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." It's a question of obedience. For the disciples, this was a challenge. Their boats were built for fishing close to the shore and not to cross to the other side of the lake. It's about following Jesus in obedience. Yes, it will lead us into storms, but ultimately, it is relying on him and not on ourselves. As Bishop Tom Wright says in his commentary on this passage in Luke, "The lesson is made plain for the disciples on the lake, as it is for us whenever we come to the end of our own resources and discover that we have to throw ourselves on the mercy of Jesus, because there's no one and nothing else that will help. The choice of faith is absolute. Either we trust him, or we're left at the mercy of the storm." So how are we going to answer Jesus' question where is your faith? Perhaps it is taking the time to meet him in prayer, to realise that it is better to have a small faith in a great and faithful God than great faith in a small God like our own abilities and resources. Perhaps it is time to take time in getting to know better this faithful God who commands even the winds and the waves. Perhaps it is time to throw ourselves on the mercy of Jesus again, or maybe even for the first time. Last Sunday, Emlyn told me a wonderful story of some boys he was leading in a Bible study on a Scripture Union camp many years ago, some of whom were Vietnamese boat people. One lad, who'd been quite quiet through the study, then shared his story. A story of being in a small boat, a refugee from Vietnam, out on the sea in a dangerous and severe storm. In desperation, prayers were prayed, and the storm calmed, and the sun came out. What an amazing testimony to the faithfulness of God in Christ Jesus, to those other boys, and to Emlyn, and to us now. Amen.